Yahweh. Good to have you aboard here. This is Pastor Buddy. We're live tonight. This is the second day of December in the year 2004, moving right along in time. We're glad to have you aboard the Shepherd's Call tonight, part two of End Time Deceptions. We're going into the rapture theory tonight. I'm going to dissect it a little bit and open it up and see if it would fit the rapture theories that are being promoted today among, well, a lot of churches. We suspect maybe that this is the way to calm a frightened mass, you know, the ostrich that is frightened, buries his head in the sand, hoping that the trouble will go away, and it ain't going away, ladies and gentlemen. To be frankly honest with you, the Bible said the end time will wax worse and worse. So just get ready. It's like the old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. You're going to have to dig in and hold on and store food and, you know, not be susceptible to the trick of the devil that you're always going to have the local McDonald's open on the corner. And that ain't going to happen, maybe, too much longer, especially here in America. Well, there's actually 10 myths that we could cover now. I don't want to cover as many as I can. Might have to do a part two on it. But the first rapture myth that is being expounded today, that is number one, is that the rapture will be secret and unseen when the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, comes to gather his elect. We're gonna look at that myth. That is a myth. Because the scripture verse clearly states that the Messiah will appear in glory and will be seen like lightning, and his coming will not be secret. Matthew 16:22 will confirm, "For the Son of Man shall come in his glory, in the glory of his Father. The Son of Man will become glorified." Remember, the Bible says that he said, "I will glorify you and will glorify you again." He glorified him once on earth, and he's going to be glorified again in the presence of every eye. So every eye didn't seem like to me that it's secret. "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." That sounds like a final. That's not like slip in and steal the bride. Folks, you know, one of the biggest fallacies in the rapture theory that he's coming back to earth to get a bride. Now, how in the world does this sequence work out of sequence? We know in John chapter 3, verse 29, that the bridegroom came for a bride. Now, if he didn't get his bride at his first coming, How is he going to get children in the second coming? Now, the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, sons and daughters was born. He didn't get him a bride. How did he get children? So these are the things that you got to look at and take into account, because every man's going to be accountable. It says, he shall reward every man according to his work. So that means that you are accountable for your actions of belief, because what you believe is what you do. You know a tree by its fruits. If you're running around here teaching a secret rapture and he's coming back to slip the bride out of here, you're one of those that's going to get caught unaware. Matthew 24. Listen to this one. And remember, within 24 last night, we're going to drop down three verses exactly. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Just like that. I mean, suddenly, I remember what it says in Psalm 68:17, that the chariots of Yah are thousands and thousands. When the angels and our Messiah, the one that was wounded, the Bible said we can actually literally see the scars from the experience that he had here 2,000 years ago. And when he comes back, he's going to be alive. He's not a figment of our imagination. He's not one of those little soft, pillowy angels that's floating around up there somewhere or out there with the Christian myth that it made to believe that you're going to go up there and float around and, you know, do all of these things, go through the pearly gates and stuff like this. The city is coming down out of heaven to be up on earth. Now, the city is the four-square city, which is New Jerusalem. Heaven's going to be right here. Your kingdom that you're going to inherit, it's the righteous that inherit the earth. I don't know where you're going to want to inherit it. See, the highest, really the lowest form here, the earth, is the highest reality. It is him coming back for us. Well, you say, well, how is it that we're going to be caught up together with him in the air? Okay, now we're going to cover that just about the sixth or seventh myth principle that we're going to look at. We'll cover that. But as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And the 31st, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now, remember this. The kingdom of heaven is within you. That's just a short clue. Now it says, 26:64 Matthew. Then the Messiah said unto them, Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Now, if heaven is within you, and clouds is symbolized metaphorically as witnesses, there's been a great cloud of witnesses since his going away. For he that went away will come again in like manner, and every eye shall see. It's not going to be any secret thing. Mark 8:38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Are you a witness? Are you actually going out and becoming a credible witness, not a witness of deceit, deception by those that have deceived you to go out and deceive others? The Bible said, make your election and calling sure. Before you tell someone the plan, make sure you're in the plan and you know the plan. The Bible said, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free, not set you free. A lot of people out here set free with no authority, because they've not been made free. There's a difference. Whosoever thou shalt for that will be ashamed of me. In this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you're not doing your duty now as a good witness, a Yahweh witness, someone that is going to witness the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you Yah. You will walk among an adulterous and sinful generation that will reject everything you say, hate you, despise you, and cast your name out as evil. If you're ashamed to be treated that way, you're in the wrong business. You better join the First Baptist and sing in the Mormon Tabernacle Choir if you can get in. I doubt if you can make it, but if you can, good luck. And then you have to excel to get into that baby. I talked about her last night. She's one of the elite. So if you ain't got nothing going rather than a Dixie Doodle, you're going to have to do more than Dixie Doodle or Pied Piper. Your flute, you're going to have to get with the program and get in the truth. Truth is stranger than fiction. Truth hurts. Truth is a separator. Truth is a sure thing to get yourself persecuted, hated, despised, cast out, cast down, forsaken. Yeah, even your own wife, your children, or maybe your husband and your children. Who knows who's going to gang up on you? Your foes are going to be those of your own household. It is mostly that people ask me, say, buddy, you ever get any flack from all these Jews and all of these blacks and things of this nature that it seems like it that you take issue with? No, I don't. It's the Israelites. It's my own household, my own family, my own brothers and sisters. They're the ones that gives me the trouble. I mean, the blacks don't bother me. They're doing their thing. Let them do their thing. Let them stay in their own race. The Father created them for a special reason. Let the Jews, let them stay in their own race, in their own kind. If they are a race, doubtful that they are. I'm talking about the Jews that I'm talking about. Most people, I never very seldom pause to tell you about what I think about the Jews. I'm talking about the Jews of Revelations 2 and 9 and 3 and 9, those that say they're Jews and are not. That's ones that take issue with, not the true house of Judah or Yehuda in the Hebrew. I don't have any problem with them. They are just one of the tribes. Anti-Semitic means you're anti-13 tribes, not anti-one tribe. How can I be anti-Semitic if I belong to one of the 13 tribes? And I am myself a Semitic descendant from the sons of Seth. That's what that means. Jews are no more Semitic than are the house of Issachar or Simeon or Benjamin or Joseph, Ephraim, or Dan. They do not have the inside track, regardless of what people say. They have no special privileges beyond Israel. I'm talking about the house of Judah. You say, well, I thought the house of Judah was Israel. No, no. There's a separation of the two houses. People forget to teach that when they talk about God's chosen people. There's two houses, the house of Judah and the house of Israel. The house of Israel comprises of the 10 lost tribes that were evicted in 721 B.C. And, of course, 586, the good fix went out of Israel also into Babylon and never to return. Where'd they go to? That was a remnant that came back for seed faith. That was the only reason that those that came back. And out of that, there was a very small remnant out of the whole 12 tribes that remained in the general area to receive the Messiah when he came. He was born into the house of Israel. He was called a Galilean. And he certainly didn't teach no secret rapture. Mark 8:38. Then you shall see the Son of Man, and you shall be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Matthew 20, 5:31. When the Son of Man cometh in his glory, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. When he comes, the judgment's going to be here. When he comes, he's going to set a judgment. Not there, but here. He's coming here to judge. The whole earth will be judged, those who are accounted worthy. Now, if you're just a flesh and blood person with no spirit of eternal adaption or adoption or credibility or license, see, you've got to have a license to get into the kingdom. You've got to be judge worthy. You've got to stand before him and give an account for the fruit or the works that you have done. If you haven't got any works, you're gonna have to explain. Every tree will bring forth good fruit. Every good tree will bring forth good fruit. The Bible says so. It cannot bring forth bad fruit. I mean, an apple tree can't bring forth a thorn. Or a plum. It's only going to bring forth apples. It can't bring forth apples, oranges, and bananas on the same tree. It just don't work. So every man's going to give an account for himself. Every man is going to stand on the edge of eternity, stand there to be judged in Matthew 25:31. Then if you read 32 and 33, you see a separation between the sheep and goats. Now, who's the sheep and who's the goats? Well, the Bible's very clear about this. It is only the house of Israel worthy, the house of Israel and Judah now, the two houses, the 13 tribes. It is only the 13 tribes that's going to be judged. There's nobody else going to be judged because you're not accountable under the covenant contract. You're going to have something to judge you. You say, well, I thought that every knee shall bow, every knee shall bow. That is Israel. It is the knee of Israel that's going to bow. It is the tongue of Israel that's going to confess. These other people, he said, I don't know them. They're not my sheep. So what's he got to do to judge those that's not his sheep? He ain't going to judge them. And what about those that are goats? Now, those are the sheep that turned goatish. Remember, the Bible says, bring that wicked servant who would not that I would rule over him and slay him in my presence. That was a sheep turned goat. A goat is, let me give you the definition of a goat. I know it says that, but. But. A goat will butt around on the word. A sheep will eat it and believe it and do it. That's the difference between sheep and goats. If you've got a goat nature, you're going to be caught up in this denominational Christian system that is deceiving the very elect into thinking that there's going to be a secret rapture and somehow you're going to get caught in the lottery and you're going to win the lottery and you're going to be caught up. But the wicked's going to remain here and the Father's going to rain hailstorms and beat the living hell out of them. That ain't going to happen. Mark 13:26. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. You're going to have to be here to see him. Well, what about those that's not here? What about those that went on? Well, what about it? Well, is there going to be a judgment over there for them? No. Everything's going to be judged here. It said so. Let me show you how it's going to work. The Bible says those that remain, and that's talking about the end time generation that will be present in physical bodies on the earth at the return, the last trump, when Christ comes back, wherever I shall see him. Every eye is the house of Israel, not the world. Those that are not his sheep will not see him. They're going to they're going to be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. They're going to go into the earth, back to the dust. They're going to evaporate in the photon exchange of the vibrations. When they begin to increase, those that cannot stand the increase or can't take the heat is going to get out of the kitchen. You remember what Peter says over in the book of 1 Peter? It says that the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the elements. And the earth also in its work shall be burned up. Now what's that? Everything that has its systematic purpose to chastise the sheep, or to be slaves or taskmasters of the sheep, to teach us obedience, after he's through with them, he's got no more use for them. They're going to go back to the earth, back to the dust, back from which they came, and there is no renewal of them. The dead know nothing. When they fall dead, they cannot return. But what about those that died or fell dead in the past? Here's the scripture. They that remain will not prevent them that sleep, for God will bring them with him. Now, what about that? There's going to be a host. There's going to be more coming out of the heavens to appear upon the earth than is on the earth to appear in the heavens. The gathering's going to be here. The judgment's going to be here. The reward's going to be here. If you don't think that the reward is going to be here, look at the scripture. Now, I don't know how this is going to work, because it's beyond my comprehension, because the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what Yahweh's laid up for them that love and serve him. Isaiah 66, 22, 23, and 24. In that day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Now, remember this. A new heaven and a new earth. Just like there was a new earth for Noah and his sons to abide in, it was the same earth. Because the Bible says the earth standing in the water and out of the water, the whole earth was not covered with water, because Peter said so. This they're ignorantly, willingly ignorant of, that the earth standing in the water and out of the water, the wicked perished. Now, who was the wicked? Those wicked sheep, those wicked goats of the house of Adam. They're the ones that paid the supreme ultimate price for their sins and disobedience. You see, the law is given to a people, and the law demands the exact payment of what the law says. They that broke the law died without mercy. For those people that have no law given to them would not be under the law to be judged by the law. Therefore, remember, even they that were guilty in the days of Noah of miscegenating, that's race mixing now, giving their sons and daughters over to strangers and vice versa, and other bloods and crossing blood and adulterating and perverting, going into Sodom and Gomorrah extremes, homosexuality, perversion, nakedness, sin, wickedness, enjoying the evil people wax worse and worse and get colder and colder. And there's no one any more susceptible to sin than the house of Israel, because to them the law was given not to do these things. And they are judged according to the deeds done in their body. Now let me show you something astounding. Those that died and perished in the flood live to tell about it. I'm going to repeat this now. This is going to take you a step further and a step deeper into your thought process if you're willing to go there. But I command your thought process to go to the depths and the regions of understanding to know that an eternal being cannot die. You remember what Christ said? He that believeth in me shall never die. Did those before the flood that violated the codes and the commandments and the ethic and the moral laws of Yahweh, did they die? No, they did not. They died physically, but they did not die spiritually. Well, what happened to him, Pastor Buddy? Well, the Bible tells you. Only three men standing on the earth knew the answer. And two of them only know part of it. Only one knew the whole part. The Messiah knew the whole part. Paul knew a part, and Peter knew a part. Paul knew more than Peter. Peter talked about it, but Paul talked more about it than Peter did. And Paul gave the revelation in the book of Thessalonians. And Peter gave the revelation in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. And so these two great prophets, Peter and Paul, revealed a great revelation to you, the sheep, if you'll only listen. Those that perished in the flood were kept, they were sent to and kept in a prison. And this prison was called Paradise. Now that's a strange statement. You mean they were wicked and Yahweh grounded them? Well, they were coached or convinced or persuaded in the earth. See, when we get out of here, we are prone to sin. That doesn't make our character bad. We've got good character. We just, you know, it's just like, you know, if you get in a barrel of good apples and you are there quite safe, then one rotten apple joins the barrel, that one rotten apple will infect or convince or persuade all of the other apples to turn rotten. And we live by example. That's why the Bible says for us to be an example. And so when the Israelites, these eternal beings, at this time with the Adamites, these eternal beings, when they saw the wickedness of man in the earth, the enjoyment of the sins, and it was real nice to go after strange flesh. It's exciting. The natural man was really prone to sin. It's the flesh man that is weak. It is the spirit man that is willing to serve the Creator. But the flesh man says, I ain't got time for that cat. I mean, just make sure that in the end, you know, that after I live like hell, he'll send me to heaven. That's the story of Christians. Live like hell, beat you, cheat you, steal you, defraud you, pass you up if you was in the ditch line. If you was broke, they won't loan you any money, and they got a bank call. Shut up their bowels of compassion, and they call themselves Christians. But when they die, they want to go to heaven. Ain't so. That ain't going to happen. You reap what you sow, like I said. So what do we got going here? We got this problem to face. Remember, those that were disobedient in days of Noah, these are the Israelites, the Adamites, who would later become Israelites through the lineage offspring of Shem, the son of Noah. Remember, he chose one of those to be covenant. That's Brit-ish, the covenant people of Isaac. See, not all Israel is Israel. And not all Aryans are Israelites. So we have to be distinguished and distinguish one from another, and we know a tree by its fruits. It is the covenant people who are going to inherit, not the non-covenant people. If you don't have a covenant contract with the Father, then you don't have any part in the new earth and the new heaven, which you spoke of in Isaiah 66. Read those three scriptures, 22, 23, and 24, and see that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now look at the last chapter of the book of Zechariah. In that day, there will not be one Canaanite left upon the earth. So they're going to disappear. Who's going to take care of them? I just wish you knew the fabulous system that the Father's got. You see, all he has to do is speak a word, and every one on the earth that he don't want to have the breath of life in, the breath of life will leave them. And so then, there is going to be, like I say, a vibrational shift. Thank you. if you look up into the heavens and you see all these chemtrails, not contrails, contrail only, it'll dissipate just almost as fast as the jet crosses the sky. But then there's these other chemtrails that linger for days. I mean, they'll dissipate slowly and form cloud systems. It gathers moisture and things of this nature, and out of that, these clouds are seeded with top secret ingredients that only your government or those who are in charge, or maybe not even the pilots that fly across the sky, thinking that they're doing you a service by doing what they're doing. If you take the ingredients in the clouds and analyze them, there's nothing good in them. Quite the contrary. Now, we know that the main body is aluminum particles. This is causing respiratory illnesses. This is causing nausea. This is causing internal bleeding of the bowels. It's causing the heart to vibrate and to be off rhythm, to misfire, so to speak. And so the whole body of Earth is becoming a pharmaceutical nightmare on Elm Street. And if you remember, when John F. Kennedy was killed, it was on Elm Street that the shot came from Elm Street. And I'm telling you, folks, the people that have planned your demise, and he that guardeth over you and watches over you, this is a constant battle for survival. The time is going to come when the eyes are going to rot or literally melt in the socket. And the flesh is going to really literally melt off the bone. I'm telling you, we are coming to a time of trouble such as the world never was. And if you'll read Jeremiah 37, you'll see that it's not a trouble of the world. I've said this and said it and said it. You've got to read the language of the Bible. Say, well, there's going to come a time of trouble. I've heard preachers, man, there's going to come a time of trouble. And the whole world is going to be in trouble. No, that ain't what it says. It says it'll be a time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is a specific bloodline to for and about in the earth. And it's not going to be the trouble of Asia or Africa. It's going to be a trouble of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jacob's sheep, Jacob's blood only, to, for, and about. The trouble will be to that specific little group of people. Luke 17:24, as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth into the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. I remember the kingdom of heaven being in you, there's going to be an awakening. The kingdom is going to emerge not from up in the sky. The kingdom's going to come from within. Luke 17:20. 21. Read Luke 17:20-21. You Bible students that's listening in to me tonight, just turn, flip over there. I'm not going to go over there and read, but you make a note of it, or turn over there right now as I'm talking to you. The kingdom of heaven is not out there in the physical realm. Remember, God, Yahweh, is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. John 4:24. Keep your notes, read that scripture. Now, if the kingdom is within you and cometh not with observation, then how is every eye going to see him? Every eye that is supposed to see him will see him. Not every eye on the planet. The coming is in you, the hope of glory. The manifestation of his kingdom is within you, the hope of glory. Now, when you rise to a vibrational rate that will exceed or match that vibration tuning, the earth is going, it's nothing but a harmonic tuning fork anyway. Well, when the Father strikes the chord, remember it's his footstool, when he stomps his foot on the earth, and the earth begins to ring in electromagnetic discharge or input, anything that is not wired to that frequency will perish. Oh, heavens above. I hope you can see this. And if you are matching frequency for frequency, if light chords are tuned to light chord, if sound is attuned to sound, if you can hear the word, then you can understand what I'm talking about here, that the myth of the rapture that they're talking about in the physical realm is not going to happen. Zechariah 12 and 10, I will pour upon the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one is in bitterness for his firstborn. And then shall they say in the book of Malachi, what is those wounds in your hands? And he shall say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. You see, when he come, the true Israelites would not stand for him because they had lost their nerve. They had lost, just like the lion with no heart and the straw man who was treated like a scarecrow, and the tin man who had no internal backbone. He's all rusted up and couldn't move to protect. Remember, the Bible said many believed on him. But what about the next time he returns? Is he going to come back and ride a donkey and be slapped around and treated with humility? And is the enemy going to kill him this time? Are they going to succeed again to put him down? I don't think so. I mean, when he comes back in flame and fire, that fire is a vibratorial input. The ringing of the inner kingdom, the inner kingdom man, will be immune from the fire, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when the earth is in flames. Now, this is not a literal fire per se, but everything in the earth that is not of the Father that will not match the vibratory rate of the vibrations of the fire. Remember, God is a flaming fire. This fire is a consuming fire, and yet the bush that he consumed was not consumed. Now let me repeat that. Moses saw the burning bush, and he was amazed as the fire roared in the bush that the bush was not affected by it. Just like the fire that roared in the furnace was greater than the fire that was roaring in the furnace. So the three Hebrew children became protected by the very fire that destroyed those that threw them in. The greater fire was inside the fire. And that's how we'll be shielded. The earth will erupt in flames, flame and fire. Remember, the elements are going to melt with fervor and heat. We're going to have a new earth and a new heaven, and all these things that are detrimental, or they are tares, oh, hallelujah, they're going to be burned up. They ain't going to match the vibrational intensity of the inner fire that, just like it burned in the fiery furnace as a miniature nuclear meltdown. And yet they didn't melt down. They wasn't even a singe. How could that fire that they were encased in, this fire envelope, they was right in the middle of the fire. And yet, there was a protecting force seen. They'd seen the fourth man walking. This was the eternal vibration of the inner spirit that was working to protect the inner fire. Brought the Hebrew boys into the vibration, and fire is a vibration, by the way. And two of the greatest mystery of elements in the earth is fire and water. It takes those two things to go back to heaven. Remember, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. If you ain't got this protective fire shield around you, you say, well, where do I get it? Can I get it at my local supermarket? No. Well, what about the First Baptist Church? Do they give it out there? No. They give a facsimile. They give a counterfeit. They give something artificial. They give you a seem right way. The real truth is the fire of truth. And so help me, yeah. I have been in all of these denominational systems, and they cannot stand the truth of fire, or the fire of truth. They can't hack it. They'll cast you out. They will reject you. Now, there's good people in there. If you were given the privilege and the time, I mean, you can in the morning get on the floor and say three or four words, and you'll have them shouting you down and ordering you out and threatening to call the police for disturbing the worship service. Truth. Now, if you go in there and tell them how good Santa Claus has been good to you, and how many little Easter eggs you found last Easter, and how many times you brought your little children in their little Easter bonnets, and let them participate in some of the paganism, I mean, they'll love you and shout with you and hallelujah with you and do all those good things. You bring the basic fundamentals of internal truth. You'll find out that there's a lot more to this rapture crap than you know. Listen to this. Acts 1:11. Which also said, you men, this angel said, you men of Galilee, and say you men of Judea. Did you know on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:7, people say, well, it was the Jews that received the Holy Ghost, and that was God's only begotten. That was not one Jew received the Holy Ghost. Not one. I'm going to repeat that for you. Not one Jew on the day of Pentecost received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was those Jews down there that were whipping those that did receive it later, beating them and imprisoning them and commanding them not to speak in that name. These were the Sanhedrin court Jews. Now remember, the Bible said after this, that the gospel began to spread. Well, many Jews believed on the Messiah through the testimony of the witnesses that came out of on the day of Pentecost, which all 11 of them of the master calling of the apostolics, 11 of them. And 11 from 120 would be whatever that number is, that's how many other Galileans. Everyone that spoke in tongues that day, and the Bible said they all spoke in tongues, 120 of them gathered in the upper room. Every one of them was a Galilean. There was not one Judite in the bunch. Not one. See, Judas had yielded his life. He had done committed suicide, so he wasn't in the gathering. He was a Jew. He was an Edomite, Canaanite Jew. He was mixed. He had part of the blood of Yehuda in him, but the problem was he was a Canaanite. These Canaanite serpents have been with the congregation of Israel from Genesis 46. If you don't believe it, go back and read. You'll see two sons of Canaanite heritage of Israel, born in the house of Israel, but had Canaanite blood in them. They went down into Egypt and they miscegenated with the sons of, and daughters of Israel, and they came out as a mixed multitude in Exodus chapter 12, verse 38. This thing is complex, I'm telling you. It's a little bit deeper than saying, well, I'm just waiting on the rapture and I ain't worried about it. Listen to this. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Now, how does he appear? He appears in you. He comes through you. You are his witness. Then shall you also appear with him in glory. Remember, if you are his witness, he's your witness. If you're ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of you. If you're going to testify for him, he's going to testify for you. If you're going to testify against him, he's going to testify against you. If you love him, he's going to love you. If you hate him, he's going to hate you. You're going to reap what you sow. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for Yahweh himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Who's that? Remember, I said those that remain will not prevent them asleep, for he's going to bring them with him, so they're already resurrected. Well, Mary said, well, I know he'll raise the Messiah was talking about, Lazarus. He said, I'm going to raise him up. He's going to raise up. She said, I know he's going to get up in the resurrection. And what did the Messiah say? I am the resurrection. She didn't really comprehend the depth of the power of a man standing there in a flesh and blood body that was going to die just a few days later. She didn't understand the power that this man had. Not only was he a flesh man, he was God wrapped in flesh. That's as plain as I can get it. He was a God man. And he didn't think it robbery vehicle with him because he said, you come up here and sit with me. And enter in boldly to the throne of grace. You don't have to go in there, hang your head down and say, I'm not worthy, O Lord. You are worthy. You're the adverb modifying the action of unworthiness. He took the unworthiness and made you worthy. It wasn't your worthiness made you unworthy. It was his worthiness that made you unworthily. That's the adverb modifying the action. Placing the emphasis not on you and yours, but on him and his, when he died for you in a contract and said, my sheep will never perish and I'll give them eternal life. Ain't a thing you can do about that. I don't care how mad you get or how unfair you say that justice and grace is. Can the clay say to the potter, why have you made me this? You think Esau had a Chinaman's chance? No, neither does a Chinaman. He ain't got a Chinaman's chance. Why? Because the covenant is not made to him. Esau did not have the covenant. He was in line for the covenant because Satan knew that if he could get his son blessed, he was the firstborn. But remember, the supplanter, Jacob, technically came out with Esau. So then it became a decision of choose this way or you'll know him by the fruits. And what's the first thing Esau done? He went out and made him Canaanite. He started having Canaanite children. You think that Yahweh is going to let an Edomite Canaanite enter the kingdom of heaven? You got another thing coming. Oh, God loves everybody now, buddy. You know, sweet Jesus said to the whosoever will, let him come. Well, then, if he said whosoever will let him come, why is he going to have a judgment seat? It ain't whosoever will, it's whosoever he says. Yeah, all Israel's going to come before him. But then he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, just like he said in Matthew 25:31-33. So then you're going to have to get your understanding in the right realm here and straighten up and fly right. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which Yahweh, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Well, when did he appear to you? He said, well, I was saved July 31st, 1962, and I know the very moment that he transformed my life. Folks, I'm telling you, if you don't get more knowledge than that, you ain't going to make it. You cannot be born again. You got to be born from above. If you're born from above, you were born with a heavenly calling before you ever came over here, chosen, and you had nothing to do with it. If you're his sheep, you're going to be his sheep. If you're not, you're not going to be his sheep. I know there's a trial and error period here. But all Israel's going to be saved, but all Israel ain't Israel. So all his sheep, all my sheep, I have lost none. They went through hell to get it. I'm telling you what, you say, well, I don't know, it's that final judgment. Folks, the final judgment was over when you were born. You were judged worthy to come down here to suffer the hell that you're living in. Surely you're worth the heaven that's waiting on you. What do you say? If you suffer with me, you reign with me? And don't tell me that if you are a son of Yah or a daughter of Yah, you ain't suffered in this present world, because the world will not love you, and neither will you love the world. If you do, you're in the wrong bracket. You need to change brackets. You might as well join the world. If you love the world, go to the world and get the advantage and the things that the world's got to offer you before you leave here. I mean, just lick it up, eat it up, drink it up, do whatever you can, as much as you can, as fast as you can, and live like hell, because tomorrow you're going to die. And you ain't going to get up. You ain't going to come out of here. The wicked are going to the earth, and those who are void of spiritual understanding or a contract are going back to the earth. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, animals, they came and they lived here, and then they went back to the earth. What about Adam? That body of Adam, where's it at? Well, you think it's still in the earth. There's like one drop of dust somewhere, literally in the earth, that used to be the physical living entity of Adam. Remember, he told him, he said, now, the day you do that, you're going to die. Well, a dead man can't go. I mean, he don't know nothing. That Adam is ceased from being. But that inward Adam, there is an inward man and an outward, that inward Adam, he never did die. At 930 years, when the time comes for that old physical body to go back to the dust, that inward body took its flight back to Yahweh. And Yahweh accomplished his mission by rescuing his sheep, the spirit man, out of the flesh body. And that's literally exactly what's happening to you. You're being rescued by the eternal grace of our Father from a flesh body, which is a living hell, a nightmare on Elm Street, full of misery, heartache. A man that's born of a woman in the flesh realm is full of a few days and full of sorrow. You say, well, I just won the lottery. I think it's the greatest thing since life. But after your money's gone and everything you bought with it is rusted down, you're about to give an account. If you don't have an eternal soul, what are you going to give in exchange? If you're going to have an eternal soul and you want to sell it out for a lottery or for the devil or for the world or whatever you're after, then that's a pretty cheap price to trade away your eternal sovereignty and give up your right and be ashamed of him. Man, I'm going to stand for what's right if it hard lips the devil and puts a kink in his back that every time he walks up the door, instead of going through it, he goes under. I'm telling you, if it hard lips the devil and he can't say another word, I'm going to be the gospel. And the Bible said the gospel stop every mouth. Listen to this. Hebrews 9:28. For Christ once suffered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And when the chief shepherd shall come, 1 Peter 5:4, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Well, I'm out of time and I ain't got half of where I want to go. So I guess I'll just have to continue. Part 3 tomorrow night. This is part 2 of End Time Deception. This is part 2. We did one nice night. This is part 2. We'll do, Yahweh willing, tomorrow night, we'll do part 3 to show you that the sheep of his pasture will go in and out. Now, that is a very deep meaning, going in and out. What does that mean, in and out? Well, Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and standeth the latter day upon the earth, and yet the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh I shall see him. Well, that's a little bit deeper than the average local church was going to teach you or afford to give you. But if you'll stick with the adult Sunday school class, Pastor Buddy sitting here after studying 50 years, not that I know it all, but I know enough that I know that I don't know a whole lot about what we all ought to know. So let's get with the plan. Let's study, pray, fast, seeking while it can be found. Let's work while it's live. Let's witness for him, testify about him, and carry on till the day that we're all transformed into newness and walk in this new kingdom where there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and from one new moon to another, we're going to come up and praise the King. We'll know what time it is then. We'll know what Sabbath is. We won't have to run out in the heat and the cold. We won't have to put up with a Canaanite. or these sodomites or anything else that enters, they'll all be plucked out of the kingdom, and the kingdom will be full of righteous. Well, if you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to email me, then that's Buddy1. That's BUDDY1 at CenturyTel.net. That's CenturyTel.net. That's Buddy1 at CenturyTel.net. Call me at area code 423-626-2172, or you can write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I got to get out of here, and I'll see you on down the line tomorrow night, Yahweh willing, on the third day of December, when we'll have time to praise and sing about Yahweh. A little bit of Dixie now.
One,